Do you see where the big person's sermon might be heading? There's an important question that I think we all have to, as Christians, have to continue to ask ourselves, not just once and done, but we have to continue to ask ourselves. And I think Jesus deals with this very question in the Gospels. And I'm trying to find my text for today, sorry. I'm going to be speaking out of that Gospel. So if you want to turn to that on page 7 of your bulletin, we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But Jesus deals with this very question. You know what the question is? I'll tell you in a second. Let's first pray. Father God, thank you for the voices we just heard. How sweet that was. And I'm sure, Father, hearing those little voices sing that blessed you. And I know that you want us, the big people, also to sing that. And that will bless you too. Father, as we look at a very teaching passage today, one that instructs us and may even challenge us a little bit, may we experience your presence today, God, as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The question is, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? My mind was going all over as I was thinking about how I'm going to deal with this text. I do have some sermon notes. I've got to find them here. So we're going to step through this a little bit, but I want to really address this question. I think it's very relevant. If you look at your passage here, an expert in the law stood up to Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So we discussed this in Sunday school this morning, and this would be essentially like a PhD from Dallas Theological Seminary coming up and challenging some carpenter guy who's out there gathering huge crowds of people. But the PhD wants to just see, what are you saying to get all these big crowds of people following you so much? I'm going to see if you really know your stuff because I have the credentials. I have my PhD. My PhD. This lawyer was trained, and he knew the law inside and out. And so his intention was to trap Jesus. This was a hostile question, more or less. He wasn't trying to actually find out and learn. He was trying to trap Jesus. Jesus said to him, well, you tell me, what's written in the law? What do you read when you read the law, Mr. Expert? And he answered, and he quotes Scripture. He says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. He's quoting there Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. But then he goes on and quotes Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus says, you have answered right. Do this and you will live. Good job. High five, Mr. Scholar of the Law. You did it. Now, we discussed this in Sunday school also. That lawyer could have just went on his way and went to the market and been on his way, and that would have been it. But he kept the dialogue going, and he questions back to Jesus. He says there, verse 29, but wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor, by the way? Who is my neighbor? So this is a teachable moment for Jesus. And Jesus is going to teach through a parable. A parable, as we discussed today also, the key to understanding almost all of the parables is to find that pinpoint specific point of the parable. You don't want to go off and look at the parable from this angle and from the angle of the innkeeper and the angle of the priest. You want to find out what is that one specific thing Jesus is trying to teach. When you do that, you have properly interpreted the parable. The parable, and we're all familiar with this, you could probably, I don't know if you could recite it word for word, but probably close. Here, I'll read it. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem down a long hill to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest, a really religious person, by the way, was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, another very religious person, right, came by that place and passed on the other side as well. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him." The Samaritan. You have to understand some of the background here. The Samaritan, by almost all Jews, were despised. They were looked at as the lowest rung of the human race. Barely worthy to be really human, right? And so if you were an Israelite, if you were the scholar of the law, I'm going to keep the law. But those Samaritans, they're not really worth a whole lot to us. So Jesus was trying to teach a very distinct point in this. I saw a crayon. That's okay, you can throw them, just don't hit me. I guess I shouldn't give them permission to throw crayons in church. I want to get in trouble. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Don't throw crayons in church. My question for you is this. Who is your neighbor? See, I have this, you need to know something about me. When I preach from the Bible, I feel compelled to teach exactly what I believe is leading me to share. And I could just show up and say, "God loves you, God loves flowers, we all love flowers, and let's sing the last hymn and get out of here." But I feel compelled to preach what I believe God is sharing on my heart with you. My question is, who is your neighbor? Let me put it to you this way. I know this parable takes some different twists, but I think the crux of the issue is there anyone that you would put, well, that person is at my low rung of humanity, and I'm not really so sure I'd be so fast to help that person? Is there someone like that in your world? They don't look like you? Who would you need a lot of convincing to take time out and help somebody? Does the human need outweigh any preconceived ideas you have of any group of humanity? Who is your neighbor? Is that a fair question? Do we all have to ask that ourselves? Who would I rush to help? Who would I go out of my way to stop and take a lot of time and do whatever they needed? And who would I be tempted to go, good luck? Here's where I'm going to get a little, I hope to not get in too much trouble today. Can I get in trouble, Keith? He says, I can get in trouble.
Not in my life.
I've been thinking a lot about our society, and there are some good messages I think we need to really be paying attention to about our brothers and sisters. Not just our brothers and sisters in our church, about our brothers and sisters in humanity. Because Jesus' example, he didn't say there was a priest who was robbed and another priest came by and helped the priest and they were all fine. Some unknown robber. But who was the best neighbor? The Samaritan, the despised person, was the best neighbor. I'm turning it a little bit, but I want to know who would be that person that you really would not want to stop by and help. The thing that I'm seeing, and I have closing on my notes, so if you're worried I'm going to go another 25 minutes, I'm not. I'm going to bring this thing down like an airplane, right? We are now starting our initial descent. What I see happening, and it does trouble me, is I see our society coming up with all these classifications of humanity. This group, that group of people, that classification of people. Is that how Jesus wants us to go about loving people? It's coming up with the classifications of people. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's the best way. Jesus came up with a radical definition of what a neighbor is. And we need to heed that. But I'm not sure all the classifications or groups of humanity is really helping in the long run. And some of you might be tempted to say, preacher, let's take you out to lunch. I want to tell you something about the groups of people, preacher. We can do that as long as it's Tanya's Mexican. We can go. You've been there, right? If you haven't been to Tanya's, you need to go to Tanya's Mexican restaurant. You can do that. Preacher, you know, we have to understand something. Some of those groups of people, over the course of a long time, hundreds of years maybe, they've experienced marginalization. They've experienced neglect. They've been experiencing hate, actions of hate and discrimination. Maybe that's why, Mr. Preacher, we do come up to emphasize different groups of people. And I would say, anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ should never participate in any of that negative stuff toward any group of people. No hate, no neglect, no discrimination. That's not what Jesus teaches in this parable. I see him teaching, you love those people, whether you're comfortable or not loving them, whether you agree with them, you love them first. But I wonder if the classifications are the best thing. I wonder if that doesn't actually work counter to Jesus. We were talking about this passage, and Dan Floor said something wise. Jesus was trying to break down barriers in this parable. And do we risk building barriers back up? Isn't the best thing for the people of God for us to do is to love those. Love those who we struggle to love for whatever reason. Love those who don't look like us. Show them love. Is that a more effective way for the people of God to address these types of issues? Jesus loves the little people, all the children of the world. You all sang that, red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in his sight. This is a spiritual issue. And may God help us to take off any preconceived ideas we have about these groups of humanity and love the people. And if there's someone in your world that you could write down, well, I don't know that I'd stop and help that person. May God help us to love that type of person. Amen.